Blog Talk Radio.
For when John comes on, we've been doing some discussing with some people in the West Coast. Got a surprise for you. And, of course, Daniela Franceschi will be here shortly. And a few of our regulars, I think, would like to be a part of the conversation. Please, as we know, message me on Facebook. Put in your phone number so I don't have to go look for it. And then I'll give you a call. How's that? And then we'll have our little free-for-all discussion after our CFL news report. Let's start with the British Columbia Lions. By the way, can't they hire players or sign players whose names are easier to say? Solomon Aliminian. Oh, that's just making fun of his name. It's not fair. But I got to be honest, it's hard to say. Anyway, the CFL linebacker has signed a one-year deal plus an option to stay with the BC Lions, alleviating concerns the Leos would lose him to the Cleveland Browns of the NFL. The opportunity with the Browns did not rise to being an overall better offer than the one offered by the Lions. Now, that's something that happens very often in the CFL. In fact, here in Toronto, the very same thing. Offensive lineman Jovan Olafier also decided to stay with the Lions and close the book for now on the NFL's Green Bay Packers. The Calgary Stampeders, quiet all offseason. They re-signed free agent 27-year-old import offensive lineman from Goldsboro, North Carolina, Stanley Bryant. It was a move to avoid free agency, and they succeeded in doing that. Bryant played 13 regular season contests for the Stampeders in 2012, as well as the West Division semifinal, the West Division final, and, of course, the Grey Cup here in Toronto. Bryant was part of an offensive line that helped the Stamps offense lead the CFL in rushing touchdowns and total touchdowns during the 2012 season, while ranking second in points, rushing yards, first downs, and pass completion percentage, and third in fewest sacks allowed. Moving east to the Edmonton Eskimos, Odell Willis signed a deal with the Edmonton Eskimos to kick off the free agency period. Willis spent last year with the Saskatchewan Roughriders, picking up 6 sacks and 23 tackles. The season prior, Willis tied for the league lead with 13 sacks with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers' Swaggerville defense. Esk signed non-import defensive back Chris Wakawamba, the second former Hamilton Tiger Cat, defensive back in this case, to join the team since the opening of free agency. He joins fellow ex-Ticat Marcel Young, a former All-Star defensive end, Odell Willis, and non-import offensive lineman Alexander Krosnick, and Marcel Young as free agent signings by the Eskimos. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders, the home of the 101st Grey Cup, the Rough Riders signed import defensive Montreal back Dwight Anderson. They re-signed their own import linebacker Tyron Brackenridge. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders also followed up the signings on Friday with 3 more on Saturday, inking free agents Wendell Brown and welcoming back Jordan Sisko. Tristan Black, the third one, a friend of our program. I should call him just for the heck of it, just to see how it's going. I didn't have time. Sorry, Tristan. If you're listening, Tristan, you'll always be an Argo lifer. You won the Grey Cup with the Toronto Argonauts. You're still with this team. And any player that wins the Grey Cup anywhere is a member of that city forever. And Tristan, you're no different. Now, Tristan goes to Saskatchewan from the Grey Cup-winning Toronto Argonauts. He played in 15 games as linebacker last season. Black picked up 8 tackles and 17 special team tackles in his third year in the league. So he's not long in the tooth. He's at a good age where he might start to really develop and become a true starter. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers have announced that it has signed non-import free agent offensive lineman Mark DeWitt as per team policy. Details of the agreement were not disclosed. Bet you he got paid in money. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers have announced that it has re-signed slotback Clarence Denmark, agreeing to terms prior to the free agency period. The Hamilton Tiger Cats signed former Rough Riders linebacker Shomari Williams, who was selected first overall by Saskatchewan in 2010. He's played both defensive end and linebacker in his 3 years in Saskatchewan. The Ticats then signed defensive back Brian Bulkey, who played for the Calgary Stampeders last season. The Busy Stripes snapped former Toronto Argonauts defensive back Evan McCullough. The Hamilton Tiger Cats also announced they released running back Avon Coburn on Saturday. It is the second straight offseason Coburn has been released by the team. Coburn was the team's leading rusher last season with 737 yards on the ground, mainly sharing with rookie Siobhan Walker. Now, he will be a guest of ours tomorrow, all things being equal, and if we're able to work it out, we can talk about what it's like to still be out there in free agency and that yo-yo thing that Hamilton has done with him. And like Corey Boyd, basically in the CFL now, you know, he was treated that way in Edmonton. Montreal Alouettes announced former Ticat defensive back Jeff Tisdale. He signed a 2-year contract with the Elves. The 5-year veteran amassed 35 tackles and 2 interceptions last year in Hamilton. Now, the big news, the big news in Montreal is they have a coach. And there will be a press conference tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time to announce 52-year-old Dan Hawkins, formerly an NCAA coach at Boise State in Colorado, and recently an ESPN on-air analyst for the NCAA broadcasts. Hey, buddy, can you speak French? We'll find out. Of course, the news was out. The Montreal Gazette announced it last week. And, of course, this ends the search for a replacement for Mark Trestman, who went to the Bears of the NFL. And now the coaching position has been filled. Montreal West's GM Jim Popp has been very busy. You know, he re-signed cornerback Seth Williams, Canadian fullback Daron Dedrick, and defensive tackle Moton Hopkins before they became free agents Friday. And once the noon Eastern time deadline passed, Montreal signed defensive back Jeff Tisdale, who spent 4 seasons with the Montreal Ticats, which I mentioned earlier. Montreal has also released veteran defensive back Gerald Brown to re-sign him a day later. They also signed Steve Octavian to a 2-year deal. The linebacker is now locked in for 2 years with the Alouettes. And one day after releasing prospect Gerald Brown back, they brought him back into the fold. The Elves also announced signing linebackers, Steve Octavian. Alouettes also, for the third time, they signed Jeff Tisdale. No, just kidding. Now let's go to the Toronto Argonauts, and running back Chad Kaggert, Grey Cup MVP, has re-signed with the Toronto Argonauts. This deal happened, quite frankly, because the Jets fired their head coach, and things were a little bit in rebuilding mode in New York, and Chad figured, you know, there's no point. You know, staying there with a hope of playing for the team. So he came to Toronto where he knows he had a good deal, where he knows who he'll be playing with and for whom. So good for Chad. We're so glad to see him come back. You know, he won the MVP at the Grey Cup in the Argos 35-22 win over Calgary. And also, James Yurachuk, as you've heard, has come back to the Argos in the sense that he's a hometown boy. The 6'3", 233-pound native of Brampton, Ontario, has spent the last 4 seasons with the BC Lions, winning the Grey Cup with the club in 2011. BC did select the 26-year-old in the first round, 4th overall in the 2009 CFL draft out of Bishops. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're just going to quickly go over some college stuff, and we have some news to give you. Do you want to be heard, disagreed with,
or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button. Right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Yuppers! Now let's take a look at some of the future CFL players and future, well, events that are of interest of Canadian football. The Canadian Inter-University Sport announced Thursday that Laval University has been selected the host of the 49th Vanier Cup in 2013 on November 23rd. The CIS Football Championship game will be played in Quebec City for the third time in history. The event was a resounding success at the TELUS Université Laval Stadium in 2009 and 2010, each time attracting enthusiastic crowds for far exceeding the seating capacity of 12,300. Last November, Laval defeated McMaster 37-14 at the Rogers Centre right here in Toronto in front of a Vanier Cup record crowd of 37,098 people. It marked the second straight year and third time in 6 years that the CIS Championship match was held as part of a Grey Cup weekend in partnership with the CFL. Some of the other places that have had this famous championship: Varsity Stadium 21 times, the Rogers Centre 17 times, the CNE Stadium 3 times, Iverwind Stadium 3 times, TELUS Université Laval Stadium, Quebec City 3 times as well, Griffith Stadium in Saskatoon once, and BC Place Stadium in Vancouver once, and that was just a couple of years ago. The Ottawa GGs have named Jamie Baresi as the head coach and program manager for the GGs football program. The Ottawa alumnus brings a wealth of coaching experience at the NCAA and CFL levels in combination with an extensive academic background, which makes him a unique commodity in the CIS football. The Hamilton, Ontario native began his coaching career with the GGs as part of the 1981 and 80 to 83 coaching staffs. He then spent 20 seasons coaching the NCAA with such notable programs as Penn State, Florida, Wake Forest, before returning to Canada. Baresi joined the CFL coaching ranks as the offensive coordinator of the Hamilton Tiger Cats in 2004. Since then, he has coached on the offensive side of the ball for the BC Lions, Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, where he guided the team to 2011 Grey Cup as the offensive coordinator. He comes to Ottawa from the Edmonton Eskimos, where he served as the run game coordinator this past season. So he got to see a lot of running backs. Let's go to Waterloo, Ontario, where Wilfrid Laurier Department of Athletics announced the appointment of Michael Falls as the new manager of football operations and head coach of the Golden Hawks, effective immediately. Falls has served as offensive coordinator for the York Lions for the past three seasons, was successfully selected out of a pool of 25 applicants to become the sixth head coach in the 52-year history of the Golden Hawks program. Back in Ottawa, offensive lineman Kirby Fabian, All-Canadian, is the number one dino from the University of Calgary, and Matt Sewell from the McMaster University have been selected. Somebody else get that. Let me continue. Calgary, Matt Sewell, and McMaster University have been selected to represent CIS football in the 88th edition of the prestigious East-West Shrine Game on Saturday, January 19, 2013, at Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg, Florida. Kickoff is scheduled for 4 p.m. Eastern Time, live on NFL Network. The game will also be streamed online at www.shrinegame.com. NFL greats to play in the Shrine Game are people that are notable: Tom Brady, Brett Favre, John Elway, Gale Sayers, Dick Butkus, Kellen Winslow, and Larry Zonka. A total of 69 Shrine Game alumni have gone on to become NFL Hall of Famers. Fabian was selected in the first round, 7th overall in the 2012 CFL Canadian Draft by the BC Lions. Sewell, who hails from Milton, Ontario, will be the third Marauder to make the trip down south to the annual showcase and is the top-ranked CIS player, 2nd overall on the latest CFL Scouting Bureau prospect, and that is as of December 12th, before Christmas, for the league's 2013 Canadian Draft. Well, there are a lot of free agents out there. Free agent running back Brandon Whitaker told the Montreal Alouettes he decided to wait to be cleared medically in May before working out for the NFL teams in hopes of landing a job south of the border. With Chad Kackert deciding to resign with the Toronto Argonauts, Whitaker is the most sought-after running back available in the free agent pool, if healthy. The Baylor product has spent 4 seasons with the Alouettes, rushing for 2,274 yards and 10 touchdowns. He also amassed 1,288 yards receiving with 12 touchdowns. His best season came in 2011 when he rushed for almost 1,400 yards. Now, our guest, I'm going to try and get our guest in here, and I'm having all kinds of, you could tell the situation with the phones in here, eh? It's really, you ever have a ringing phone while you're trying to do a program? Daniela Franceschi. We are calling him right now, and we can't hook up with him. Are you trying to give me a note? What's
yeah,
the note?
Him on the phone.
Well, I've been trying to call him. I've been trying to call him, and I can't get his number. Won't go through. We'll try one more time. God bless these technical difficulties. Calling again. Let's see if this works. Dial. La di da di da di da. See, it comes up, but he doesn't pick it up. I don't know what's up with that. Well, use Skype. Daniel, I know you can't hear me. You know what? Let's try something else here. That phone that's been making all the noise, let's give him a call on that phone. 1905. Oh, yeah, we won't mention any other numbers. Daniel. I'm trying to call you. I don't think they're going to be able to hear you. Can you try Skyping me? Go on. You don't have Skype. Well, download it. No, all you have to do is you go to, you, if you don't have Skype, because I'm trying to call you and it's not working. All right, buddy? All right, we'll have to work out what the bug is. There seems to be always a new bug invented on Blog Talk Radio. This is the new one for today. I've never had a problem calling anybody before. This is the first. I'll try again. Hang up. Make sure your phone's off, is hung up, and we'll try it again, okay? All right, Daniel? Well, Daniel is a high school student, and we're trying to help him by giving him an opportunity to gain some experience doing this kind of thing. Let's hope that he has a little more luck when he's down his career a bit down the road, where he doesn't have to deal with these kinds of issues. What I can't believe is why it won't go through. I can't believe it. I'm actually seeing it happen in front of my eyes, and I hit dial, and it just does not. I can see him there, and oh, come on, baby. No, it won't hang in there, buddy. Well, what am I going to do? You try these things out and they don't work. I'll close it. Maybe close it and retry it again. There we go. Let's try it again. Let's see if it works. Come on, Daniel. I can see you're there. Nope. It just keeps bouncing off for whatever reason. Okay. We'll bring John in, I guess, a little early due to the technical difficulties and hooking up with our friend Daniele. And that's too bad. It's very disappointing. John, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Frank? I guess we're giving Daniele the real, live, true experience of live radio.
Well, live blog talk radio. Let's not.
Yeah, same thing.
Let's not blame everybody.
Well, Well, you know, that's the tribulations of doing this. It's going to happen once in a while. And lesson learned, Daniele, you got to download the Skype, right?
Yeah, hopefully he does that. It's not a big deal. He can go.
No.
For those that are listening, one thing we've established here, John, is our listenership, viewership, however you wish to define it, is predominantly people who download the program after it has aired live. A very large majority of people. And because of that, it's easier for them to do that than it is to take part, which I'm disappointed because I really like to have people call in. And as I said, all you have to do, even if you don't know me on Facebook, because you can message anybody on Facebook. They just have to ignore you, right? So you message me on Facebook, put your phone number in the message, and I'll try to call you. And hopefully we won't have this problem that we had with Daniele. And do you know what, John? He has a Rogers phone. I think that's the problem.
Okay.
Do you have a Rogers
phone? I think so.
I had problems with him earlier and just calling him, not even considering doing anything else. I wonder if that's what it is. Well, we'll find out. I'm not picking on Rogers. I'm just saying, you know, we love doing this program, and we want as much as anything to have people take part as well. So, John, we
yes.
began this adventure a couple of months ago now, right? We started it early. You know, considering when the CFL season starts, we've talked about the issues that we have here. And now I'm proud to announce, we'll see how it works out. We have our first link up with another broadcasting arm known as Rouge Radio. And that's by Jason Sperling. And he's going to help us with guests. His first contribution is Avon, who was just released by the Hamilton Tiger Cats, Avon Colburn. And, you know, we'll see how this works. Our intention has always been, as Argo Lifers, to do whatever it takes to make the CFL a better place. And I think this is a step in the right direction. How about your comments?
I love it. I love it. Listen, any exposure is good exposure. That's the way I see things. And I'm loving all the action on the free agency market these past 3 days. It caught me off a little bit off guard with all the movement going on. You know, I'm still a little bit shocked that Ricky hasn't signed anywhere. From all the stuff I've been reading on Facebook and all the pages, fan pages, everybody wants him. I mean, everybody out in the West wants him. The Ryder fans really want him bad. But I'm still trying to find out where he's trying to land in the NFL as far as tryouts go. I haven't heard anything about that. Have you?
No. Like you, it's a strange situation. We all know where he wants to play. We all believe after his emotional reaction after the Grey Cup, there's no question in my mind that he loves his friends that live here. He loves his family that lives here, and he loves the city of Toronto. Unfortunately, after winning a Grey Cup, it's hard to sign all your players to salaries that they believe are worthwhile. Therefore, there has to be some, I guess, imaginative contract negotiation, I guess, because, you know, when you win, everybody knows in everybody's sport, everybody's value goes up, or at least the guys who become free agents. And they pay a lot more than they would have the year before. So, John, I agree with you that we've talked that he probably would prefer to come to Toronto. But, you know, there is such a thing as a salary cap.
I hear you. I have faith that he's going to be back. I know that Jim Barker, he doesn't really pursue the free agency market. I mean, his style is to go out there and find a talent, and that's what he's hired to do, and that's what he's good at doing. And I think that's the route he's going to go this year. I mean, you know, Chad, we had to put back up on the payroll again and sign him without letting him go. I mean, you know, Jim had faith in this kid 2 years ago when he saw something in him, and why give him up at this point when he showed up at the big game? So I think Chad deserves what he got. I think Jim, if he doesn't get Ricky back, which I have a strong feeling that Ricky Foley will be back with the Toronto Argonauts. I don't see anybody else taking him away from Toronto. That's my personal feeling on it. Again, this is just a fan's perspective that I'm giving here. But I'm pretty in tune with what's going on with the Argonauts, and I think Jim, he's got the money to sign Ricky. I think he wants to give Ricky the chance to go and feel out the tryout that he's going to get down in the States. And once that clears up, he'll re-sign when the time is right. It's just for some more breaking news later on, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. That probably is the case. Oh, look at this. I just wanted to prove it worked, John. It does work. Hang on, but it didn't work for... This is a different phone number. I'm surprised calling Tristan Black.
Hello.
Hey, Tristan.
Hey.
Frank, listen, I've got you on the radio. Do you want to hang up now? Because I didn't give you any advance warning of calling, but I already miss you.
Oh, am I on right now?
Right now, my friend, you're on.
Oh, my God, Frank, you got to text me or something first, man.
Oh, no, you're my friend. I mean, you know.
No problem. Yeah, you know we're good. You're always good. You call me anytime, man.
Hey, listen, how's that Vi thing going?
It's going lovely, man. Helping a lot of people. We're fighting global obesity. Actually, we just announced our Project 10 winners. So this is something we're doing. We're giving away $10,000 to 10 people who lose their first 10 pounds or gain their first 10 pounds of muscle. So you can win $1,000. Are you kidding me? For doing something that you got to do anyway. So this is just something, a little bit of an incentive that we're getting people to do to take a look at their health, challenge their health for 90 days and see what they can do in 90 days, you know?
Yep, and you can hook up with Tristan on Facebook. This thing's on Facebook, so it's on his Facebook page. I think I have
Absolutely.
It liked on my Facebook page as well. And, yes, I did follow the 10 winners of $1,000. And
when are you going to get your T-shirt? Oh, we're also giving away, for when you lose your first 10 pounds, you're giving away these cool I Lost It T-shirts, right? So we're going to have thousands of people walking around with these I Lost It T-shirts. People are going to be like, what the heck is this? So,
Tristan, John Granger's on the phone as well. You know John.
Absolutely, yeah. So my Facebook family. What's up, man?
Hey, my friend. Listen, I want to give you congratulations. I know you're going to do us proud out in the Ryder country. You have to know Ryder's on my West Coast team, so you jumped on the right team to cheer for me in the West Side.
So we're still good. We're still good, huh? Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Tristan, you got to know something, all right? You're always going to be good with us, all right? So when you're on the visitor side this time, you're just going to be closer to us. That's all.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man.
That's
good to hear.
Tristan, this goes to anybody who plays in Toronto. You know, we don't forget our players, and especially when they wear a Grey Cup ring, that makes them an automatic. It makes you an automatic Argo lifer. So you know, we're very proud of the fact that you're signed with Saskatchewan. You've only been in the league 3 years. It wouldn't be unfair to say you're on a learning curve, if you will.
Well, I've been in the league. I just finished my fourth, actually.
Oh, fourth.
Got
okay.
here in 2009. Go ahead. Yeah, it's been a learning curve. You're always learning anyways. When you stop learning, you die, right? So I never want to stop learning in this league or just in this career in general, because you always want to keep getting better, keep making sure you're getting yourself to the next level.
You know, Tristan, the other thing that John and I were discussing is now why Tristan signed with Saskatchewan. We can guess that. There's not much better an organization to join in as far as being a football player in a crazy town that loves their team, huh?
Oh yeah, you know it's obviously one of the biggest football towns, I'm going to say, in the world, man. So it's a good place to play. Absolutely, I haven't heard anything but good things from the players that have been on the team, as far as you know, the fans and the community goes. So I'm kind of, if I had to go somewhere, it's a good place to go, you know.
We also feel that the reason why Saskatchewan picked you is because you do have an experience of winning the Grey Cup, and I think it's not lost on you or any of the other players who have joined the Saskatchewan Rough Riders this year and this off season. It hasn't been lost on you that they're all in for the Grey Cup this year.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, it's crazy. I told all the coaches I'm on a one game winning streak with this Grey Cup, so it's, you're getting me while I'm hot, you know. So especially a home Grey Cup for sure. So, yeah, they're a young team. They're a contender anyways, but they were a young team. So anything I can do to bring my championship experience over there, and it's gonna help them for sure. Especially, you know, they got good teamers. They got, you know, I'm gonna be able to come in there and help them on defense and do some things. And yeah, it's a good situation. I'm thinking we're gonna do it again, man. I'm gonna do it again.
Hey, listen, good luck with that.
Appreciate it.
Another thing I'd like to ask is, can we talk about free agency and what it's like for a player? Do you mind discussing how that works and how that feels, and help us understand some of the emotions that you might be going through each and every day? Like, you start by not getting signed. What did that feel like when you didn't get signed? I'm just saying on a personal level. I can imagine it's easy to say that it's not a good feeling, right? What do you do to keep yourself up?
It is what it is. It's not. I don't get too up or too far down. Obviously, you know, going into free agency, my thoughts are staying with Toronto is because I'm here, my family's here. But when certain doors close, others open up. So I knew there's always other options, and I did enough damage to teams this year. I wasn't worried about a job or anything like that. So it wasn't a matter of me not playing again. It was just a matter of me, you know, where was I going to be? And it's a bit of uneasiness not knowing where you're going to live for, you know, the next year or so, where you're going to play for the next couple of years or so. But I'm happy with the way things went, and it wasn't that bad for me. You know, sometimes I guess if it's a free agency, you can either feel like a piece of meat or not. You know, you got people fighting all over you, or you have no one calling you. For me, it was a really good situation. I had a few options, and I took the one that I felt was best for me.
Well, I'm happy for you, and it's good to hear that you had choices. We know that you get choices based on your character. You know, unfortunately, when it comes to the game of football, it's all about interpretation and opinion. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
yeah.
You get signed, people are hoping you're going to be able to do something, and it's tough to go to a team. I'm gonna make an opinion now and just say that when you go with Saskatchewan, the other thing you've got to be happy with is that this is a good organization that knows what they're doing, and you know they'll use you in a manner that will make you the best player you can be. Is that not true?
Yeah. Thanks for that. No, for sure. They just, you know, I was with Coach Chamberlain when I first. He was our defensive backs coach when I got drafted to Calgary. So he was familiar with me and what I could do and my skill set. So the plans are I'm gonna be, you know, getting some playing time on defense, getting in there on D a little bit more, and obviously the special teams just continuing to be a menace out there on special teams. And they're gonna be using me. I that's the plan. That's always the plan going forward. But and I plan to, you know, take full advantage of it.
Well, you know, we wish you all the best. I'm sure you've been on the phone long enough with us, and thank you for being such a good sport. John, do you have anything you want to add for Tristan?
Well, Tristan, listen, I mean, you're going to a team that, you know, the fans out there live and breathe football, so – I mean, I've already read on Facebook the fan foot pages. They're welcoming you with open arms. If you haven't checked it out, I'm letting you know right now they are. So you're going into a welcome place. Again, hometown boy, you know we're going to be behind you no matter what team you're going to be playing for, regardless, okay? So we got your back. We're going to be cheering for you on the sidelines in Section 134B. Like I said, you're going to be closer to us because we're right behind the visitor's bench. So you know you got some backing when you come here in Toronto when you guys are playing. Again, Tristan, thank you so much for playing with the Argos, for all your service you did for us, and for being a great, great player and reaching out to the fans like us. Thanks very much, man.
No problem, man. You guys make it easy, man. You guys are all the fans. I don't consider them just fans or anything. They're all friends because when somebody cheers for you, that's got to be a friend, right? So
absolutely.
Right on.
Definitely. Thank you, guys.
One last question. How many tickets do you get for the Grey Cup?
Oh, man, I think we only get two. I try to steal some from I try to steal some from a color or something like that.
Hey, just a back linebacker, former Toronto Argonaut, signs on with the Saskatchewan Roughriders, the host team for the 101st Grey Cup. Tristan, you're a class act, and I really appreciate the fact that without any forewarning, you picked up the phone and you didn't hang up on me. Thank you very much.
Of course. I almost did, man. Don't get it twisted. I almost hung up on you when I heard it was you, Frank. Hey, you caught me off guard, man.
Buddy.
All right. Take it easy.
Hey, that was Tristan Black. Tristan, of course, former Argonaut. And we really he's a wonderful guy, and he's part of the CFL family, and the CFL family is who we promote here on this program. It doesn't matter if he moves to Saskatchewan, but I'll be honest in this sense, okay? I'll throw a little honesty out to you folks out there, and if anyone feels different than me after I say this, I understand. It's okay. I want Tristan Black to have one of the greatest games he ever has playing the Argonauts, but the Argonauts still have to win. John, do you agree?
I ditto that, Frank. I ditto that. I mean, you know, like I told Tristan, he's going into a good football atmosphere. So, and you know, the difference that he basically is going to be going through is getting the pressure again to win it, you know, for the hometown. You know, that's something that he's got a little bit of experience in, right? So
right.
He's going to do well. We, you know, like I said, we wish him all the best and hope to hear from him during the season again.
Yeah, I know we will. We got along with him real well. For those of you that may not be aware, Tristan was the Argo unsigned, mind you, that shared the Grey Cup with many of the local people and local establishments. He really did yeoman service to bring the Grey Cup to the fans, and some of those fans were us, in fact, and we appreciate him doing that. And just to be clear on the part that I said, I would expect any fan of any team in the CFL to say exactly what I said. I think that's the least we can do is support the players that have played in our city, but we don't have to give up our support of our own team. We can, like, that's what I said. What I said, it was half tongue in cheek and half in reality. We want him to have the best game he ever has in front of us when he comes to Toronto, but we're hoping the Argos win. I'm just speaking from a perspective of a fan, but as a CFL fan, I hope he has a great year. I hope we have a great year in the CFL, not just, you know, in individual cities. I think with Toronto coming back and playing well, and I think Montreal is going to be making the moves. It appears, John, I don't think they got a guy that speaks French.
Or maybe he does. All he needs to know is Gagnon. That's what I hear when I go cashing my ProLine ticket. So that's all I know.
Big Andre fans?
Yeah, we'll see how that works out for him. I mean, you know, I don't know, Frank. You know, they want their French speaking coaches. They want that more than they want a good coach.
It's got to be tough, and I'm not going to hold it against them either. there's no reason to hold it against them if they didn't succeed in getting a French coach. As long as the Quebecers in Quebec and of course the Montrealers, the Montreal fans feel that they did the best they could. And you know, Jim Popp is a great GM. You know, if it was a first-time GM, he might have had a little more difficulty to sell Hawkins as a coach. I think Pop being Pop, he was able to do it. And, you know, it's like what Burke said when he was canned, you know, for the Toronto Maple Leafs. If I had won, I wouldn't have been fired regardless of my personality. And that, unfortunately, is the truth in sports. It's all business. You know, we try to separate it as fans and keep it more of a game, you know, and we enjoy it. Because for us, John, you and I, it's not a business. It's a passion. And, you know, unfortunately, it's driven by business. And I don't hold that against business either, because we need them. Otherwise, we don't have anywhere to have our passion. You know, if it isn't for people like Braley, who salvaged the Argonauts literally off the trash heap, we don't have a team to root for. Am I right or am I wrong? How do you feel?
I totally agree with you. Mr. Braley is one of those Canadians that is a very proud Canadian, and he sees something that is Canadian tradition, and he wants to make sure it survives. So he's a legend. That's all I can see as far as an owner goes. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. And it's, you know, he owns, funny thing about Mr. Braley is that he owns two teams, and his favorite team is the Ticats.
I know. You own the Ticats.
I mean, that's something. You know, that is something. That tells you something about this guy. And I can probably tell you that
John,
every owner in the CFL, you know, looks up to a person like Braley who's willing to put everything he can to make this league survive. And by having a person like that just makes them stronger. So, yeah. Braley, really good owner. I wish we had, you know, eight other ones like him. And then we do. Actually, we kind of do.
Well, he left some money in Hamilton, too, for a football stadium.
Did he?
He has done some for the university, I think, of McMaster. He has spent some money at McMaster. He's one of those people that believes in the game. And even though it probably costs him, he does sort of keep plugging away, you know. And the Argonauts, yeah. I don't think are at least a deep profit-making venture. I think a guy like him would just be happy if they broke even, John. What do you think?
I think so too, Frank. I think a guy like him would be happy just if, you know, the Argonauts became a stable sports product here, and to get a fan base that was, you know, a good solid number, season ticket holders, I think he would be happy with that. We need everybody, the whole league knows that Toronto is vital to this league, and it's no longer the reason that they used to use in the old days where, oh, all the major networks are here. So, we, you know, that still is somewhat the reason, but it's just because it just doesn't seem right without having a Toronto team here. First of all, Frank, that's never going to happen, okay? It's just never, as long as there are fans like myself, like you, like the other Argo lifers, it's just never going to die. I'm never going to let it die. I mean, you know, it's just that's the way I'm programmed. I'm a football fan. I'm a Toronto fan. I'm an Argonaut fan. And I'm just not going to give up. You know, I'm just going to keep spreading the word. And that's what it's about. I love this league. I love this sport. It's entertaining. That's the bottom line about the CFL. It's entertaining. I've been around long enough to try out different leagues. And, you know, I've been to college games. American, Canadian. I mean, you know, I get what is entertainment when it comes to sports, and the CFL provides it. So, Frank, you know, as far as you know, what I'm bugged about, not to get off a blabbing here a little bit too much, but I'm still bugged about the schedule not coming out. What's up with that? You know,
comment. I erased it from my comments because I find it very disappointing. Hey, listen, John. Let's perform our responsibility and our way of helping the Toronto Argonauts. And as you listen to this, if you're not an Argonaut fan, that's okay. to replace the name of the team that you play for in this commercial, and you know, think about buying a ticket for a CFL game. Yes, we are promoting the Argos. This program began because of the Argos, and we will, I don't think, ever turn our backs on the fact that it's the Argos that helped us get this going. And anybody else that wants to come on board, any other CFL team, they will have as much of an opportunity as the Argos have had to work with us. That's one promise I make, and John supports me in that as well. We're here to work with the CFL fans. We're here to work with the CFL fans. And I know a lot of you love the game. I know I love the game. I know that it deserves to survive. And we're not talking about it. Please don't misunderstand. This isn't a funeral march for the CFL. We're just voicing our regrets that it has to be this difficult. That's all. It's not impossible. It's just difficult and requires a lot of hardworking people in all the offices across the CFL. Yes, some CFL markets, you know, have an easier go of it. Others, less. But most importantly, we all have to survive. And to use an Argo term, all high tides raise all boats. So, you know, so it's our job as fans to help promote our league. And this is how John and I decided to do it. And thanks to the Argos for sending us this.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button, right? Now, do it!
Now, all you have to do is go onto Facebook, put your number there. When you put your number there, I'll call you. But apparently, unless you're Daniele Franceschi, and for that, Daniel, I ask your forgiveness. I don't know why it won't let me call you, but we'll try it again sometime. John, great interview with Tristan Black. I really enjoyed it. How about you?
I like it when anytime Tristan comes on. I said, this guy's a really sociable guy. You know, we got to meet him a few times at Trulis, and a really, really down-to-earth kind of guy. Always a smile on his face. I mean, you know, Tristan walks in a room, he's got a big grin on his face all the time. I don't think I've ever seen him frowning.
Absolutely. Now, unfortunately, Argo management, and every team every year has to make tough decisions. You know, it's a business. It's not a, for the most part, most times, it's not about personality. It's just about fit and how does a player fit. You know, unfortunately for Tristan, he didn't fit well enough in the Argo plans, and they felt, you know, they left him with the other options, like he says, to take. And maybe they didn't think he was as good as Saskatchewan thinks. So, you know, that's why we wish him all the best of luck. It's a business, and we're all friends that know each other in the business, if you will. John, down the road here, we're coming up, you know, to now the middle to the end of February. March comes in. You mentioned about the schedule not being out yet. I don't understand what the problem with the schedule is. Hopefully it'll get arranged. What do people do? until then? Like, what does a guy like you do who's waiting for the schedule to come up, and how does it affect you negatively?
Well, if you can see this visually right now, I have my two thumbs together, and they would be overlapping each other. It's called twiddling my thumbs in the meantime. What else am I going to do? I mean, you know, you start with the schedule. You kind of plan around that. You set the dates out. You make sure that, you know, you're available on those dates during the year. You want to circle them. You kind of want to make sure that your friends are going to be available. I have a group of people I always take with me to games, and then we got the Argo Lifers. I want to, you know, there's so many things. I just don't get it. Well, I mean, you know, I might be venting here a little bit, but I wasn't venting in the first week. This is going into week two right now. This is nuts.
Well, hopefully
I'm getting
it will
impatient.
Come out. John,
yeah,
let's
well,
talk.
I'm getting impatient.
No,
yeah.
It's okay. Okay.
No, I'm just saying, I'm getting impatient, and I have to say it three times. I'm getting impatient, I'm getting impatient, I'm getting impatient. Anyway, carry on.
And I jumped in each time. You know, in the CFL this year, the difference, I think, in the CFL this year is going to be that I think there's a lot of pressure on Saskatchewan to win at home, and there are a lot of teams who feel – due to a couple of teams that have floundered a little. You've got Edmonton that's, they're going to be young, to say the least. You know, out west, you've got some real power horses in BC, Calgary, and Saskatchewan. In Toronto, we've got a team that, well, they really didn't win any more than they lost in the regular season, but they did get on a roll at the right time. What do you see as some of the excitement for some of the fans elsewhere? Or as an Argo fan, what are the teams that you're looking forward to seeing when they come in? Just see what work has been done in the off season.
Well, I'm going to simplify it when it comes to the Argos. I mean, you know, they can only get better. To be playing .500 and still win the Grey Cup is pretty good. Lucky, I think the timing was right. It just everything fell into place. So I'm expecting a better record, more wins. The team out west that I'm, kind of looking at what's going to happen here is Edmonton. All the signings that they've done over the last 3 days. I see a lot of action going on there. I'm a little bit surprised with the lack of action in Winnipeg. Now, mind you, they've re-signed a lot of their free agents, so maybe that's the reason why we're not hearing a lot of movement there. But I'm looking for a surprise out of Edmonton. I'm interested in seeing how they're going to do with the BC quarterback that they signed. Well, now Edmonton quarterback. But Edmonton is my wild card as far as, you know, wild card meaning, you know, which team is going to be the surprise here, if at all. And I'm wondering how it's all going to fall into place for them. Again, I'm going to go over this as far as Calgary. They're going to be strong. I still think they're going to be the threat. BC, Bono, you know, he puts a good team together every year. So it's going to be a good year as far as, as far as the talent across the board goes. My surprise in the East, obviously, is going to be what's going to happen in Hamilton. You know, I wonder how it's going to play out. They have a lot of challenges down there as far as their chemistry goes and the coaching and the GM and, you know, the playing in a new stadium, but different atmosphere all year round. It's going to be feeling like an away game, I imagine, all the time. So, Frank, like I said, Edmonton, I think I've seen with a lot of action. I'm wondering how that's going to fall into place. And Hamilton, you know, the two teams that I'm expecting to see something different. Winnipeg, I don't know. I don't know anything about Winnipeg. I don't know what's going to happen with Pierce, who's quarterbacking. I love Pierce. I think he's a tough-as-nails guy as can be. He can take a hit. But, you know, he needs protection. I don't know how they're going to – I have no clue. I have no clue as far as Baltimore, the Bombers go. But that's my version on it. Toronto, I expect – better record than, you know, 500. That's all.
I wouldn't want to be somebody who's sharing season tickets, because it's going to be really hard to pick which games you want to go to. Here's my definition of what's going on. It's much like what you said. I figure Saskatchewan and Calgary are probably toe-to-toe with BC as a dark horse, Edmonton rebuilding. Out here in the east, I believe you have three dark horses. You know what I mean? You got the Argos,
yeah,
who won the Grey Cup, and then you've got three teams that are dark horses that any one of the three, you know, right now, especially with what Hamilton's done on the defensive part of the ball, you know, and Montreal, you can never count out a team that's managed by Jim Popp, you know. So, you know, you've got three dark horses here in the east. The Argos are the favorite by virtue of winning the Grey Cup. And as you said, anything less, I don't want to say a disappointment, but let's face it, the Argos, Argo fans, we expect, like you said, the Argos to win more games this year. And that might be tough, because game wins, victories are going to mean a lot this year.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm worried about the defense right now. We got a few holes that we got to fill. Again, when I say I'm worried about it, I'm meaning that, you know, we got to fill them. But as far as Jim Barker getting the right guys, and I'm not worried about that. I'm just not. I've seen the training camps in the last 2 years and the players that brings in. Every player that he calls in, they have a lot of potential, and it's demanding. And right now, with Scott's format that he wants to have in place, these guys have a challenge on their hands to make the team. And now it's even a bigger challenge to make it a Grey Cup team. You know, you gotta repeat, and these guys gotta come out twice as hard as they did last year. So I'm looking forward to it, Frank. I don't know how many times I can say it. Let's get this thing going.
I'm with you on that, brother. One thing's for sure, we're going to have fun in the stands. And if you want to join us, we do have some room for some more people. And, John, if you want to do your little promo about our section, the half price sale.
Well, this is the thing with our section, okay? This can't get any better for Argo fans. And I'm talking about the diehard fans out there. I'm talking about the fan out there who said, you know what, I can't afford even a $600 season ticket. Well, sitting with us, you don't have to worry about that. You get the whole entire season for $300. That's tax included. You get a couple of few perks, a T-shirt that goes along with the section, so forth. But it's the atmosphere that is priceless. I mean, the atmosphere that we create during the games, it doesn't matter if there's 20 or 30 or 40 of us, we still create an atmosphere that you want to be part of. And I can assure you, after each game, you're going to say, I had a good time. Regardless of if we win or lose, I mean, it's going to be 10 times better if we win. But, Frank, I've had this experience going around the stadiums around the country and the states and so forth, and to be part of a group of fans like they have with the TSC games with the Red Patch Boys, it's a group of people that want to cheer, that love to cheer, that want to have a good time, and that want to bounce. You know, and I mean by bounce, I want to have a good time and want to be, an emotional effect in the game. And I kid you not, I know that if people join our section in 134, you call Chris Andreoli. If you ask, you know, you can call 341-2700 and ask at the switchboard for his name, and he'll hook you up to this. You won't regret it. It's like they're already giving you a guarantee. Like, as if I came to you, Frank, and said, listen, Frank, how about at the end of the season, if you didn't like the season, I'll give you half your money back. No, instead, you get the half price right now. And you're going to feel like you owe the Argos at the end of the season because you had such a good time. So that's my pitch on this. I'm doing a pitch because I don't want any fans out there that are listening that feel like they can't be part of something like this. They can. It's there. Be part of it. Section 134. Join the rest of us and you have a great time.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
Well, you're a prime example, Frank. I didn't know you a year ago. You were invited through the photographer that I got to take pictures of the section for the Bo logo page. And your history, I mean, as far as the rest is history when it comes to you. And you've become a season ticket holder in our section. And this is just an example. You're one of others that have done the same thing that have joined our section. Gary Grube and his wife, Diane Kearns, Shane, her nephew. I mean, I can go on and on. These are people who are Argo lifers in our section, who, and Jamie, okay, who was not there last year. I mean, like I said, these are all people didn't know last year, and they want to be part of this. And I kid you not, Argo fans, if you want to be part of something like this, join us in 134. It's the best section to be with. The drums, I demand only one thing, is that you bring your voice. And you're going to have to stand on defense. If you don't, you'll miss out on the, you know, on the bandwagon jumping up and down. But I kid you not, you got to bring your voice. It's all about having, you know, fun and being vocal. I'm not going to be easy on people who are quieter in our section. I just don't want that. I don't think anybody wants that. And you're not going to have it there. I'm not going to force you to make noise, but you're going to feel like the oddball out. Like, it's the opposite of what we have right now, Frank, at Blue Jay Games.
Okay, you trying to
games.
Sell these tickets or unsell them?
Well, listen to me. You feel like the oddball now at games, Frank, when you stand up and everybody looks at you and you cheer. Well, in our section, it's the reverse. And if that doesn't sell, I don't want you there. End of story. I don't want you there. You hear me? I only want you if you want to have fun. If you want to have fun, join Section 134B. I guarantee you're going to have fun.
Yeah, and it's a section right up against the field. We're right up against the field. They can hear us. We're not talking about being in the nosebleeds. We're talking about being right on the field. So our tormentation of the players is very, very possible. You know, and we do it in good fun.
Frank, if you want to talk about tormentation of the players, this is the kind of effect we were on the players last year. First game of the season, the trainer of the Calgary bench complained to security about us and our noise making. They were not used to having Argo rowdies behind them on the visitor side. Okay, that was game one. During the Saskatchewan game, okay, the security again came down and shut us down, literally, saying that if we stand up again, they're going to kick us all out. Well, what do we do, Frank? Do you remember? We walked out. And ever since then, the security and the management at the Rogers Center have been very, very nice to us. They understand that we are there for good intentions. We are not rude. You know, we are vocal, but we are not rude. And they were not used to that. We were actually getting complaints about noisemaking, Frank, at a football game. I mean, this is so ludicrous. But we went through that last year. We've ironed out everything out. They are more than happy to encourage us to make noise. But I kid you not, you know, you heard the horror stories from Blue Jay games where fans were being told to sit down and you can't, you know, be standing and obstructing someone's view when you're cheering. I mean, you thought that was a joke, right? You hear one or two fans say, well, we lived it last year, Frank, but I got to tell you, Rogers Center and Lisa Simmons, the management there, is on board, just like the Argo front offices. They understand that, you know, they give us full 100% support. This is the reason why they slashed the tickets for half price. I mean, Daniel Steinfeld, Chris Andreoli, those guys in the sales do not do these things because they just want to sell a ticket. It's got nothing to do with just wanting to sell a ticket. They want to sell it to their proper fan base. They want to sell it to the root of what they know is their fan base, and those are Argo lifers. We are in it for life. Just like any diehard fan would be, you're in it for life. It's simple. We're Argo lifers, Frank.
Absolutely. I want to remind everybody that tomorrow we're supposed to be having Avon Colburn on. He was just released by the Hamilton Tiger Cats. He was a great runner for them this year and finds himself out of a job. We'll get to talk to him and see what he's hearing through the grapevine and what offers he has out. And also a week tonight, we'll be having John Avery, a former Argonaut, former Eskimo. He'll be on the show as well. He's coming into town, visiting family and friends, and he's going to take the time to chat with us on the program. We'll take a short break. We'll be back for more with John Granger. I'm Frank Stanishi. You're watching Blog Talk Radio, Candid Frank Live. And tomorrow, we'll be starting with Rouge Radio as well. So we're starting to hook up with the rest of the country. Anybody who else might want to contribute in as far as joining the raunchy way we do radio? You're welcome. Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on. Be brave. Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button, right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Well, we're running down to the last 20-plus minutes of the program. A few of our compadres that join us from time to time have requested to be on the show. But we want to make sure that they're ready to be on the show. So give us a message on Facebook and we'll add you in and call you up and get you on the program. John, the last 24 minutes here, let's go a little bit free-for-all here. And Yeah.
All right.
So
down to it.
So here's the thing. We've got the Blue Jays about to start. The pitchers and catchers are at the meeting. They're ready to basically start baseball. Hockey, the shortened season, it's almost in mid season already. Actually, they're about a third of the season. It's going to be an interesting year for Canadian sports franchises. With hockey, of course, Montreal is playing, finding ways to win. The Leafs are playing well in spurts. Ottawa has run into a little bit of a injury bug. And then, of course, on the west side, we've got Edmonton came out of the gate in a hurry. Calgary didn't. And, of course, Vancouver is hanging around first, second, third, at least in the bye home team section of the standings. Has it been an interesting year in hockey? And I know you're not a real big baseball fan, so we'll stick to hockey.
Who says that? Are you
a baseball fan?
Ah, oh, come on, Frank. I'm a fan of every single Toronto sports team. I'm a rarity, maybe. Literally every single Toronto sports team. The Jays, what? I thought they already won the World Series. What are you talking about? We have to start the season? Oh, okay. Let's start the season. Yeah, they should be good. They're great on paper. Vegas has them already winning. I think 9 out of 10 Jays fans already think we've won the World Series. So, they got a long ways to go. I love all the hype. I love the pitchers that they got. Who's not going to like that? It's a given. But, again, nothing has been done yet. No wins on the boards yet. Nothing in the standings. So I'm going to just hold my breath. I've been through this so many times before. Been there, done that. So I'm just going to wait it out and see. But I love it. I mean, what's there not to like? Like I said, again, we're talking like as if they've already won it. I just want to see them make the playoffs, and let's take it from there. But they have a great chance. I mean, we got pitchers. That's what it's all about. You know, baseball, you gotta get them out. But, again, Dickey, he's not such a great American League pitcher. You know, he doesn't have a great record. So, again, I'm holding my breath on that one for a while. Let's see what happens. We'll see how that plays out. The Leafs? Okay. Well, you know, we won again tonight. And I'm saying that we, because I'm a Leaf fan. Nice win, 3-0, another shutout. Let's see. I'm going to give it another week or two to really kind of get my flavor on how this is going to settle out. There's everybody looks good. I mean, tell me who's not looking good right now. Philly.
Raptors,
they
Raptors
won tonight.
Are looking good.
I thought they were doing pretty poorly. Poor start. Washington is still not getting their legs, you know, together and getting some wins underneath the belt. But Montreal's picking it up. I don't know, Frank. It's kind of too early to tell. When you mentioned that, you know, we should be three quarters of the season, and where are we now? What games? How many games have we played?
19, 20?
I've been watching this free agency stuff so much, I haven't paid attention to how many games are underneath our belts now with the Leafs.
19, 20, I think, last I looked.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and they're only playing half a season this year, so you figure they're at the midpoint of the season right now.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to any Leaf games, let's put it that way. I'm still boycotting the strike thing. If they're going to strike, so am I for the rest of the season. That's just the way it is. I wanted to go. I mean, I wanted to go to this Buffalo game that's coming up. But I'm not. I'm not. I just, you know, I've been through the strikes a couple of times now, and my way of paying them back is I'm just not going to go, period. Even freebies. I've been offered a couple of free tickets. I'm not going to take them. Forget it. Not going. They decide to sit out, I'm going to sit out. The fans are going, good for you. Have fun.
Well, you know what? It could be finally. Last year was a major disappointment for Canadian sports, for Canadian hockey teams, I should say. Well, sports teams as well. But Canadian hockey teams was a disappointment. You know, Ottawa was the last team to make it, and they only made it to the first round, and then they were knocked off. You know, and no other Canadian teams were in. Right now, you've got Montreal, Toronto looking like serious contenders. You know, the league wants the Rangers to win. That's what the league wants. But it's always about the American teams winning. They always want the American teams to win because they know and they figure the Canadian fans are going to go out anyway. And they always say, you know, and you listen to any team that leaves town in the U.S., well, you know, we need a winning team. You know, well, what about the game? Does the game mean anything to you? You know, this is the part that infuriates me when it comes to hockey and the National Hockey League brand, is that the American teams have to win and the Canadian teams shouldn't have to win. And it almost seems like, I don't want to say orchestrated, but, you know, the league has raised, you know, has tipped their hand a few times. You know, one year they said, Chicago, if Chicago wins, we'll do well. Chicago won, you know. You know,
and they're doing very well now, too.
Yeah, and,
Chicago,
you know, and they are right
really
now. And if New York wins, it'll help us. New York ends up winning. You know, oh, we should have, if only some of the small market teams would win the cup. You know, two or three of them have won. You know, but it hasn't helped. It has helped monetarily speaking because, you know, Gary Bettman's a wise businessman, and he knows how to make money. You know, that's great, but he's not very good in as far as, you know, making the game matter. You know, there used to be a time, John, when you know, the Bruins or any other of the better teams would go in as a visitor, and the stadium would fill because of the great players like Gretzky and Lemieux would come in. And now it seems like nothing will you know, help a team to fill the stadium unless their team's about to win the cup, you know, and they want to go to 30 teams. 30 teams can't win the cup in a year. And even if they all won it once, you know, in a row, it would be every 30 years. So I don't know where people get off on thinking, especially the National Hockey League, where they can solve a team's problem by having them win. You know, it isn't the problem. The problem is you've got to sell the game. Not the business of the game, the game. And that's what they don't do.
Get that right. Oh, I feel the same way, Frank. You know, I'm going to agree with you on that. You know how passionate I get about some stuff.
I hear you. I hear you. Now, let's talk about cricket. No, just kidding. I don't know anything about cricket.
I
don't know anything about cricket. If you know about cricket.
Oh, come on. A little bit of cricket talk. Well, we're going to keep the listeners tuned in when we start the cricket talk. Let's talk cricket. Come on, Frank. Let's
John,
do it.
John, I was looking at the CIS, and a player was suspended for smoking pot.
What?
A football player
was
suspended
God.
For smoking pot.
Shame
it was
on
the
that.
Anti-doping. It's part of the anti-doping policy.
Doesn't
not
he
surprised.
Know what drugs will do to you, Frank? I mean, come on, seriously.
Yeah, but
there's no medical proof
can't...
that marijuana is good for you. Doctors are not prescribing it these days, are they?
But no way.
I mean,
wait a minute.
Hold on a second. They are they? Oh, okay. Yeah, so they busted him for smoking some weed. There you go. There goes his life.
But, John.
And what?
But, John, I can't see how that can help a football player. The guy's on the bench, and the coach goes, 17, you're up. What, man?
No, Frank, they'd rather have them
on the bench. Come on.
They'd rather have them drinking than smoking. That's what they're trying to tell you, okay? Because they don't want – I don't even want to get into that. Too bad for the guy.
I'm not into drugs. to me, it just seems kind of like a red herring almost. Okay, and on another subject, Australia. In this past week and a week and a half, whatever it is.
Sad.
Big-time doping scandals. I mean, right to Australian rules football. You know, they have really been cut to the quick. That is a country that, by numbers, by sheer numbers, they overperform in the Olympics. Whether it's winter, whether it's summer, it doesn't matter. They overperform in every Olympics. And now we're finding out maybe one of the reasons is that they are doing, you know, they are doping.
Australia has, a great reputation for their sporting programs. I mean, I think it's probably more internal competition amongst their own country that has caused probably this doping problem that they're having, because, you know, there's a large group of athletes that want to, have a chance to make the Olympic team there, because they orientate their programs. There's the school programs. They're right up there when it comes to making sure that sport is an important, vital part of their lives. And I think probably that's probably caused a little bit of a more intense competition amongst themselves. And when you say that they found these guys who are actual Olympians that were doping, or they're athletes that are
actually, the way the story broke, they were basically suggesting that every sport, including Australian rules football, they have found that there is a proliferation of doping, and maybe the suggestion is. And only the suggestion, because I don't think I heard anybody come right out and say it, is that basically Australia as a country has turned a blind eye to doping. I don't think that's fair to say at any time, but I believe that was the implication. And the Australian people are devastated. They're very sportsman minded, and they're a country of Green Rider fans. You know, they're just that nuts about their sports.
It's all about competition. It's all about, I think, maybe, the dollar talks here. The programs are being funded, and, they get more money as their athletes finish higher in the standings. So, it's kind of the root of all evils. It's a good thing, competition. At the same time, it could be a bad thing, a negative thing. And when it comes to doping, I mean, I think it's probably there at all levels. It's a matter of what is legal and what isn't. At one point, who would have known that cough syrups or whatever would be an effect on an athlete and be in a performance kind of drug that you're not allowed to take, something that's in a cough syrup. I don't know, these kind of minute little details about doping, it all depends on what extent of doping you're talking about. I don't know much about it, but it's sad that if Australia is now part of the scandal, it is, because they've always kind of looked at the clean country.
Yeah, and, many of us admire. I mean, it's not they're not a country that just is good at one sport. I mean, tennis, they're big in that. Golf, they've got some really good players in golf. There isn't a sport. The Olympics already said it. So how many sports do you have? Soccer, football, whatever, European football. Their team gets to the World Cup. You know, I mean, this is a very small country with a very high profile in sports. And
well,
now,
because of the government sports programs, you know, they fund them over there, not like over here, they're cutting everything.
Well, that's what everybody was thinking until the scandal broke. Well, anyway, I wish the best to Australia, because I love Australia. I want to go there someday. And, you know, it's the other side of the world. The drain turns the other way. So when you flush, don't be freaked out by which way the water goes down the drain. It goes the other way. You know, it's a beautiful place that I've seen, and it looks like a wonderful place to visit. I guess we haven't touched – we got a few minutes here, and we talked a little bit about the Raptors. Now, you know, again, in Canada, just like the baseball, it's the only professional team in Canada, the Raptors here in Toronto. They make a trade for Rudy Gay. Plays phenomenal, has some off nights, but who the heck doesn't have off nights? But this kid has really made a difference on the team, don't you think?
So far. I mean, you know, like I said, he's loving every minute coming to Toronto because he knows he's going to get the ball more. He's putting some wins together. You can't complain about it. You know, everybody's playing really good on the team. I like the Raptors. They kind of surprised me with their poor start, but you know, lately they're exciting to watch.
Absolutely, and you know, the one thing that they can do, regardless of whatever happens, is they can rely on the patience of their fans. I mean, they're very fortunate. I mean, the team has not had too many good years. They've made some moves that looked good for, like, what, a year and a half, and then go south. And they're still around to try to maintain a decent crowd at the ACC. Now, fortunately, basketball is an entertaining game. If you like basketball, you know, the excitement in basketball, for some reason, I'm not even going to venture to guess why. Even when you lose, the game is more like, it's more interesting than when your team loses in hockey. I don't know why, John. How do you feel about what I just said?
How do I feel about it, Frank? I mean, you know, it all depends on what sport you like more. You know, not everybody's a basketball fan who's a hockey fan, right? So everybody's got a different roller coaster ride when it comes to how their team is doing. Some fans can't take anything except for a playoff, and other fans are just happy that, you know, they're playing well. I'm one of those fans that just likes a good game. I mean, I'll take a losing season, but as long as the team competed every time, you know, I'll take it. I'll take it that way. I mean, look, I've been a Leaf fan for how many years, and they don't compete every year, and I'm still a Leaf fan. So that's all about being a diehard and wearing your colors all year round and never changing them. I'm never going to change my colors. I know there's a lot of Leaf fans, obviously, out there who will never change their colors, and that's the way it should be. When it comes to the Raptor fans, they got a good hardcore group of fans that have hung around for many, many years, you know, haven't made the playoffs in a decade. I think it's been at least a decade. So, you know, loyal fans are always going to be there for you. The Raptor fans, they deserve a little bit more. I mean, they're getting some good entertaining ball right now. I just hope they can maybe get a little bit better and squeak through the playoffs. A playoff spot would be really do justice for 10 years of not making the playoffs. Even if we get kicked out of the first round, I'll take it.
Wow. You know, another thing that happened at the NBA All-Star game, Terrence Ross, rookie guard for the Toronto Raptors, won the slam dunk contest.
Wow, yeah. Wow. Did you see that? Man.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was awesome. I mean, he did a little tribute for to Carter there.
Yep.
By wearing his jersey and did one of those things. You know, people asked, oh, is that rubbing it in? You know, I don't like Carter the way he left. I liked him as a player when he played here. I think he had a mommy that kind of controlled him a little bit too much, and then he got a little bit too high on himself, and he pulled the typical routine that, you know, it seems like the Americans do. Well, I want to go play in my hometown. I want to go play in the States. As long as it's an American country, I mean, a city, I'm fine with that. And so he took off. Same thing happened to Brady, McGrady, I should say. And, you know, he did the same thing. I great for the kid. He's an awesome dunker. I mean, I saw those dunks. They were amazing, Frank. There's no doubt that he should have won that competition.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Also, that All-Star game, there's discussions that possibly it could be coming to Toronto in 2016, which...
Whoopee. I mean, really. Who? I don't give a crap. It comes or not. I mean, so what? All-Star games are what they are. It's just like an awards show on TV. It's just, you know, a huge, big commercial for the actor or actresses or whatever. Same thing for the league. It's a big commercial. I don't care. I really don't. I'm about playing the games. Let's get the season going. This All-Star stuff is, just a waste of time.
And then Michael Jordan turned 50. Can you believe he turned 50?
Yeah, okay. I'll believe it. Mr.
Holy
Haynes.
Crap.
Yeah.
You know? Seems
in
like
the Haynes, no pun intended, right?
Yeah, I mean,
why are you surprised that he turned 50, that he's young, or that he actually made it to 50?
I keep forgetting. No, I just keep forgetting how old I'm getting.
Oh.
You know, it seems like just yesterday he was an MVP.
Well, I thought you would know how old you're getting when you start collecting the senior checks.
Oh, boy.
Goes again.
Holy mackerel. That's almost as bad as your knock-knock jokes. Okay, we're gonna stop laughing for a second. Pay tribute to Jerry Buss, Dr. Jerry Buss, the owner of the LA Lakers. He was also the owner, I believe, if I remember correctly, of the Los Angeles Kings for a short time.
Yes.
And you know, this guy was the Lakers. I don't think there's an owner. And you could even he would even overcome a guy like Harold Ballard, an owner that is so inextricably tied to the franchise. This guy was the Lakers, you know, and he did so many amazing things, and he has been, you know, like, well, I guess it's only fair to say, you know, Big George in New York, he. With the Yankees, Steinbrenner, I think these two guys are probably two of the winningest owners with opposite personalities. Buss did get in the news every so often, but you know, Steinbrenner created the news. But
yep.
There are two owners that won a lot.
Yeah. Which makes him a little different from Harold Ballard, where you threw in there.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I'm saying. But still, you have teams that have been losing for years and years and years, and the owners don't understand that they can't win. You know, that in sports, that's the biggest thing that bothers me, is that fans don't have the right, because it's business, don't have the right to say, hey, 10 years, you've sucked for 10 years, time for you to sell the team and give another organization, another group, a chance to show they can win. I don't know why we can't do that. I wish we could. I wish fans could do that. And then there wouldn't be the Cubs. There wouldn't be the Leafs. There wouldn't be, you know, as we know them, I mean. As we know them.
You know what, Frank? You mentioned those two owners. The difference between those two owners that fans couldn't do is that their teams never sucked for 10 straight years. George was loved and hated at the same time, but he was only hated because he got aggressive with the demands that he wanted from the Yankees, and sometimes he would tarnish, some of the players that the fans really liked a lot, but not because he didn't put a good product out there.
And they're both. I got to tip my hat. I really enjoyed their lives, because they impacted on me as a sports fan. And to Jerry Buss's family and friends, my condolences. And it's my first time to say to, you know, Mr. Steinbrenner the same thing. You know, great people. And hopefully someday we'll be able to say that in Toronto we have ownership like that, that knows how to win. We could be on the edge of that right now. You never know. John, as usual, Mr. Granger, a pleasure having you on. It was fun, you know, breaking thoughts with you.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you very much. Same, likewise here.
Quick last comment. You got anything you want to pull? Well, we talked about the tickets. We talked about the
tickets. Well, we're here all weekend. Good night, Cleveland!
Okay, everybody, thanks for tuning in. Tomorrow we begin our relationship with Rouge Radio in Edmonton. They will begin broadcasting our show in Edmonton, and we're very proud of that, and we're very grateful to Jason Sperling and company. And also tomorrow, as I said, Avon Coburn will be on, recently released by the Hamilton Tiger Cats, and that'll be on Wednesday. I apologize. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. You've been watching Blog Talk Radio, Candid Frank Live. Hope to see you or hear you next time. Have a great one, everyone.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Thank you for joining us tonight for the Candid Frank Live Show, heard on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10:30 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great night, everyone. Yeah.